Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. A little bit late getting started. A couple technical difficulties. I apologize for that, but I am Greg Crawford. This is the Gregory Crawford. I use my full name there. Sports Biz Show. We do this show every Tuesday night at 10 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time, as I am based on the West Coast. And you can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops or at www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com. But I am so lucky every first Tuesday of the month to be joined by my good friend and such a talented young LaSalle University graduate, talented young journalist, has done so much already in his career, and he's going to go on to stardom. I just hope he'll keep talking to me. Jovan Alford, and Jovan is based in Philadelphia, so why not a Portland-Philadelphia connection, one of the great rivalries, championships ever in the NBA, 1977, Portland-Philadelphia, and it's thought of even today. Jovan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Greg. Always good to be on every first Tuesday of the month. How's everything going with you?
Everything is going fine. Thanks for asking, and we love having you on, and it seems like this topic does not go away, Jovan. People out here in Oregon, and we got tons of listeners tonight, Jovan, by the way, which is great. I think they knew I probably would bring up Chip Kelly. Is this ever going to die down, this racial thing, or not being able to relate to players? And I guess my comment, and I'm not going to give the typical old white man comment, but the fact of the matter is, he seemed to not have much trouble with African-American players at Oregon, which he had quite a few, and also African-American coaches on his staff. And you never even heard anything like this. I guess, is it just a sign of the times in pro football, or is some validity to this?
I think when it, because somebody asked about this earlier about Chip, I think what part of why people are saying this is because of the whole Riley Cooper situation, how that was handled, how he didn't handle it the correct way, whereas people think the way he should have, it wasn't handled the way that a lot of people thought it should have been handled, and which a lot of people thought that Riley Cooper should have been released from the team, because you just don't say those type of things. And I think Chip acknowledged that today during the press conference, saying that the way that was handled, maybe it wasn't the right way to handle it. So it seems like he's starting to realize that what it might be, but it doesn't take effect of what other players from the Eagles have said. Now, Brandon Boykin wasn't more on the racial side of it. It was more of, and I'm glad he clarified his point, because once people first heard that, it was like, oh, he's saying Chip Kelly's a racist. And it was great to hear Boykin come out and actually clarify a statement that said, you know, just Chip just doesn't seem like a real social dude. He's just a football guy. You know, he's not one of those guys that's going to ask you how things going, how his life going, nothing like that. It's more like Chip is going to, if you say to Chip, how's life going, how's your day going, Chip's going to come back with you and say, well, how was that play that you just made? You want to go watch some games? So Brandon Boykin's comments are more on the line of that. And I could see that, because Chip just looks like he is just a football guy, 24/7, 365.
Yeah, and I don't know whether you were able to see it, but for people that didn't, I believe it was out of the Washington Post, and I could be wrong there, Jovan, but there was a great article about Chip Kelly, and they talked to his ex-wife, and she gave a lot of insight into him. It was real interesting.
No, yeah, that was a very interesting article. I think it came out, I want to say it was like either last Friday or the Friday before that. It was on the Washington Post. Like I said, it wasn't the Washington Post. They did a very good job profiling that, because nobody knows that. Like Chip said, I think Chip said it earlier this week or last week too, that he doesn't understand why people are so enamored with what's going on in his life. It's because we don't know what's going on in his life.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of like, you know, quote unquote, he's this kind of like football genius. You know, he brought this fast-paced style of football to Oregon, and now he brings it to the NFL, and we want to know, who is this guy? And it's like, oh, he was married for 7 years? That is breaking news, you know, especially when it's slow NFL cycle, you know, that's gonna make the rounds. Like, whoa, the dude was married. Like, so I think it's just a lot. I think it's just a lot to deal with. Nobody really knows who this mystery man is, despite it being his third year here in Philadelphia.
And, you know, I think that was somewhat the case here in the state of Oregon, and people knew he had a pretty good large-sized house. Some people said there wasn't any furniture in the house. I don't know. And Jovan, you've been around him now. You've been covering him for going up on his third year back there. Is he truly the mad scientist of the NFL?
Yeah, I would say he is the mad scientist of the NFL. I would agree with that notion. I think he is the mad scientist because he's just the stuff that he comes up with is, you know, it's inventive. We haven't seen this type of, you know, we saw the NFL bring the spread offense, but we haven't seen this type of spread offense. And I think when he first got here year one, he always said we didn't see all his playbook. And that's true. But we saw what he could do with a mobile quarterback in Mike Vick, and he changed the game automatically for Vick's career in that Eagles offense back then. And now we're starting to see the playbook open more and more. Now since he has his players here, hopefully we suddenly see something different. So, I mean, we have seen a lot of things. I mean, the fast-paced offense is something different. I mean, the way he's running backs, his wide receivers, especially with them already going from one side of the field to the next side of the field in motion. He does a lot of creative things, and I think that's also intriguing about him. He's that mad scientist. I mean, he's all into the sports science and, you know, doing all that stuff, player sleeping habits and smoothies and all those type of things. So, yeah, you could probably say he is the mad scientist.
It certainly takes up a lot of headlines, not the premier headlines with the Tom Brady issue, but Chip Kelly's been in the headlines a lot. Jovan, and a final comment on this particular subject that I miss some stuff, you know, from time to time because I do get kind of busy, but have some of the African-American players at all rallied behind him, or have they remained kind of silent on this issue?
A lot of players, I think Malcolm Jenkins said of the Eagles, he's an African-American player, said that he's tired of hearing about it. He's tired of hearing these, you know, notions. And Mark Sanchez, who's Hispanic, he said he's tired of hearing it too. So I think there are players that are tired of hearing it. But I do think that where there's smoke, there's fire. And I won't say that Chip Kelly's racist because I really don't believe he's racist. I really don't believe that at all. I really don't believe that because he's coached at Oregon with black players. He had black players. He had to go into these people's homes when he was a college coach to recruit these kids. So I don't think he's racist. But what I will say is that I do think that he's just probably not a sociable person. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, and I think he came across that way here at Oregon. He was very tough with the media. He practices were behind closed doors for most of the time. You didn't even, you know, I don't even think he got close to a lot of the people that were close to him. And he's a very unique guy. Now, you and I have been around these sports a long time because you wanted to know what you did at an early age. You're much younger than I am, but you really have great knowledge. And I think, you know what, winning's going to eliminate all this.
Mm-hmm. No, you're definitely right. I think that's just in any sport, from football to hoops to any sport. Winning cures everything. If you win it, people ain't going to be seen. When everybody's on the hush-hush, everybody's worried about how we're going to win this next game, how do we win this game. But if they start losing, if you go into a losing slide, or if Chip doesn't run the ball in the goal line when it's a key play in the game, this is going to come back up again. Trust me, we're going to hear this again if the losing begins to happen.
You know, I get bugged, Jovan, about the way people on the East Coast think about the West Coast, and I get bugged or vice versa. I mean, even look at this state. We got maybe one of the top 10 players in the NBA comes out of Oregon, Kevin Love right now. We got a coach that come out of this state, grew up here, played college ball here, played high school, grade school. He's won two out of the last five NBA championships, Eric Spoelstra, but yet the East Coast is a great sports area. And I think people, the one thing about people out west, they don't realize how big the population is out east. And the reason I've set this question up is, how much talk in Philadelphia, where you're based, is there about Deflategate? Are people interested in that, or has it run its course, or is it a hot topic?
I think it's pretty much run its course. I don't think nobody really isn't talking about it per se, unless you know it's like the hot topic, like ESPN goes like a breaking news, or you get a breaking news alert, or you see Twitter with breaking news about it. It's pretty much here. In Philly, it's pretty much just like, oh, okay, Deflategate. More news about Deflategate. Oh, that's cool. So it's kind of like one of those type of things. But I bet you probably in New York and Boston, I have a friend that's from the Boston, New England area. So when we have, like, when there's Patriot issues come, especially about Deflategate, to me about it, because he's, it's more of a topic for him. For us here in Philly, it's more like, so what's the next headline coming out of English training camp?
Okay, this is an NBA town out here, and we got a lot of listeners in Portland. I've often felt that the 76ers are one of the most frustrating teams around. They've had a lot of bad breaks, but you make your own breaks. They seem to be dysfunctional at times. Is there any sort of light at the end of the tunnel, Jovan, for the Philadelphia 76ers?
That's hard to say. I mean, I would actually say that, I mean, remember the last time I was on the show, I think Summer League had just got underway. It hadn't even been done, I think, the last time I was on here. After I've seen the Summer League play, I do think there is the light at the end of the tunnel. And not this year. I won't say it's this year. I'll say about in 2 to 3 years, the light is at the end of the tunnel. I love what I saw out of Jahlil Okafor over the summer and how he played in the summer league and how, for a big man, his post moves are so polished. He's almost like a young Tim Duncan, the way he just moves under the court. His footwork is great. He's a good compliment to Nerlens Noel. The key is just Joel Embiid, but it looks like Joel Embiid hasn't even got surgery yet. And the Sixers said he's supposed to have surgery 7 to 10 days afterwards. We're past that timeline. Hasn't happened yet. So I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know if the Sixers are just trying to lead us on, or Embiid really isn't hurt. I mean, who knows? But what that, then the Sixers acquired Nick Stauskas. Also, last month, I like that move. So I think the moves are pretty solid. I think they have the pieces here. It's just got to keep on going and going and going. So we'll see what happens, but I'll say in 2 to 3 years, that's when Sixers fans will finally see something in 2 to 3 years. This season upcoming, I would say just hope for at least, you don't want to have 18 wins again. You don't want to have that, because that's not progress. You at least want to see 25 to 30 wins. That's progress.
Jovan, my take on sports is in the NBA that you better have a darn good coach, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a good front office, but it's all about the coaching and how they relate to the players, because they're with each other 82 games. Now, in baseball, the manager is with the team 162 games, but my feeling in baseball is you better have a great general manager. Ruben Amaro had flashes of brilliance in Philadelphia, but lately he's come on hard times. Is he done there?
Yeah, pretty much. That's all it is. He's done. After the Cole Hamels trade, Hamels a good trade, actually. It was actually a phenomenal trade. But I think this year is actually his – I think he's done after this year. I think they're going to move on. They've already brought in new people to, run the team. John Middleton, Andy McPhail. Andy McPhail has done a tremendous job with teams. like I think with the Orioles and the Twins, if I'm not mistaken. I could be totally wrong, so if you want to correct me, guys, definitely correct me. But they're already moving on with new people in management, and, you know, they got Sandberg quit right in the, a little bit before the end of the first half of the before the All-Star break, a little bit before then. And they are in Pete McCann in the interim, so they're probably going to be looking for a new manager, if not Keith McCann. But you might have to keep McCann if the Phillies are 13-3 after the All-Star break. So pretty much all in all, I think Amaro's done. I don't think the Phillies will get rid of him in the organization. I think they'll remove him from his position in GM, but they'll probably have him still a part of the organization in some capacity.
Jovan, you know, people in Portland listening tonight, where I'm based, they can relate to professional basketball, and they really have even caught on yet how popular pro basketball is and how knowledgeable the people are in Portland, because they won a championship. The team's been around since 1970. It's hard to believe, and everything. So it's pretty well established. And then, of course, we got a winning football team 3 hours to the north, which some people hate. This has been 49er country for years, but a lot of people love the Seahawks. We can relate that. We cannot relate here to professional baseball, quite frankly, because the Mariners have been awful. What's it like, the following of the Phillies? Is it all about winning, or is it a tradition and culture, which, man, it goes so far back?
I definitely think it's tradition and culture, and it's a little bit of winning. I mean, if you're a bandwagon fan that just hopped on when they won the World Series in 2008, then you're probably just all in it for the winning, and there isn't much happening right now. But if you've been with this team before the 2008 World Series run, where they was going through the struggles in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, going through that struggle, then it's more about tradition and culture. I mean, Phillies baseball is really, you know, really revered and loved in this town. A lot of people were Phillies fans and Eagles fans and Sixers fans, so you know. I definitely think it's more tradition. If you've been with this team before, 2008 is more about tradition and culture. But if you showed up in 2008 bandwagon style, it's all about winning. And also, I know Portland doesn't have baseball, but you do got a hockey team there. I think you do. You do got a hockey team, and also I do got arena football. I've watched a lot of Portland Thunder games this season. And I gotta give it to the city of Portland. I gotta give a round of applause to you guys, because you guys definitely do show up and come out for arena football. So I just wanted to throw that little tidbit in there.
Sure, no problem. Record crowd at the last game, 14,000. They had to open up the upper deck. They had a big win over Las Vegas. I do a quarterly sports lunch, Jovan, as you know, every quarter. And Terry Emmert, the owner of the Thunder, he's at every, and Jeff Gaffori, his right-hand guy, they're at every lunch. I mean, I give them credit. They're big-time people, but they show up at our sports lunch, you know, like John Spoelstra and Dale Scott, the American, you know, not the famous American umpire in Major League Baseball. So I give those guys credit, but especially Terry Emmert. He even flies up when he's out of town to come to the thing. So they do. They're kind of gaining a little foothold in this town and everything. Jovan, I wanted to ask you, people enjoy you being on. They wished I'd have you on more. I know your schedule's so busy, and I'd gladly have you on more on the Greg Crawford on Sports Business show. But who do you like? If you had to pick one writer that you'd like to spend a day with that's a sports writer, who would that be? Who do you really like?
If I had to pick one writer to spend one day with, wow, that's really tough, because I guess because I read so much stuff, I don't really have a favorite writer, but
sure.
I'll probably say I would want to spend probably a day with your colleague and friend Chris Haynes. I really would want to spend a day with him and see how a day in the life of hoops going, covering the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James would be.
Oh, boy, that's going to go out on Twitter. We all know that by Greg Crawford. So. That's going to hit Twitter tonight or first thing in the morning. Okay, let's flip that over. And how about in the broadcasting side, radio or TV? We'll combine them. Who's the one person you'd like to spend a day with there on the national level or locally or whatever you want to choose?
Well, locally for probably TV, I'd probably say Mark Zumoff, who does the Sixers, does a tremendous job. I've met him on multiple occasions at LaSalle. He's just a great guy, very open, you know, willing to help you and talk to you and talk to you about your career and what you're trying to aspire to do. And national, I would want to hang out with Gus Johnson. Gus Johnson just brings it every March Madness. Doing college basketball, just the excitement he brings to the game. He makes a turnover, even a pass on a ball or a three pointer, just feel so electric. So probably Gus Johnson for national and Mark Zumoff for local.
Well, I'll tell you, my choice is not that anybody asked, but it's going to be different. But I would take Russell Baxter, who covers pro football. I don't know whether you follow him much.
Yeah, I follow him. Yeah, he's really good.
He is tremendous, yeah, and also on the broadcast side, I think I would take Reggie Miller. I think just Reggie Miller's just a star power, and he never gets enough credit. Everything he says is so good, and I really like him, and I also think when he teams with Kevin Harlan, that's a dynamite team, because I think Kevin Harlan's the best play-by-play guy in sports right now.
Oh, definitely, definitely. The way he can just go from basketball and then to, NFL playoffs, the next week, that's talent.
Yeah, absolutely, and does boxing and everything. Jovan, how can people get a hold of you, and how can they follow your great podcast and everything else along those lines? I think they'd really like to know Twitter, social media, your podcast, your writings, what you're doing professionally now. Go through it. You got plenty of time.
You can follow me on Twitter at @JoeVonTen. That's pretty much where you can follow me at. I'm literally tweeting throughout the day, mostly just random sports things that are going on, retweeting some stuff that's happening in sports, the regular Twitter, the regular things that happen on the Twitter sphere. You can also follow Total Sports Live on Twitter @ Total Sports Live. You can check out the website, totalsportslive.com. It's part of the Blogwin Network. Great network. I'm very happy to be a part of that network. Total Sports Live covers everything in Philadelphia sports, and got a little tab of the national. We got a little national tab up there for all you fans that are outside of Philadelphia region. We like to bring everybody from sports into this hub we created at Total Sports Live. So you can definitely check that out. All right, I'm also doing some stuff on the. I'm also in conjunction with Total Sports Live doing some stuff on the side. Cover 32. Lead writer for doing Arizona Cardinals stuff, so doing some of that, and then also recently just joined SB Nation's Swish Appeal, their WNBA site, so doing some recaps here and there for them and hopefully some feature stories. So doing what I can just make myself better and not writing like I used to be all the time, where I was just going crazy writing all the time. Literally just putting myself on the schedule and learning how to, balancing things out, doing one story here, one story there, doing better than less, instead of writing five or four stories instead and just making one great story out of something. And then professionally, folks, I'm not in sports as of yet. I'm about to wrap up my internship at Resources for Human Development here in Philadelphia as a communications intern. Research for Human Development, people that don't know, is a nonprofit human services organization. So I'm about to wrap up there on Thursday. So, yeah, that's pretty much my whole spiel.
Are they going to hire you full-time after that?
Full-time hiring? I'm not sure yet. We'll see. Probably not. I do have a phone interview Later today, or well, it's not Wednesday over there on the West Coast, but the East Coast is Wednesday. But I do have a phone interview later today with a digital with a startup here in Philadelphia, a digital marketing company. So pretty excited about that. And also the podcast, you can check that out on Blog Talk Radio / Solo Sports Live, and you can download it on. You can also listen to it on the TuneIn Radio app. Just search TSL the TSL podcast as well. So that's pretty much my whole spiel.
Very good, and I know you enjoy being on with Greg Crawford, and we love having you on, and we've talked to a lot of famous people being together, Jovan, so we're going to keep going.
That is true. We did talk to a lot of famous people. It's been a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, good night, Jovan. Keep up the great work. We'll see you the 1st of September. I can't believe it's September already, but right around football, and we'll maybe have you break down the NFL when we have you on the 1st week of September.
All right, sounds good.
You betcha. That's Jovan Alford, Jovan 10 at Jovan 10 and on Twitter, and we'll get that right. I probably goofed that up. I apologize, but you know how to get hold of Jovan. Just pencil in Jovan Alford, A-L-F-O-R-D. J-O-V-A-N, his first name. Good night, everybody. Don't forget to make all your free throws. Thanks for listening. Great program tonight by Jovan.